This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today and Pod Media Reports. We're about to speak to Attorney General of California, Bill Lockyer. Welcome to Pod Media Reports and California Politics Today.
Thanks, Mark.
Mainly, we're going to talk about Proposition 77 and your lawsuit to take it off the ballot. What would Proposition 77 do if it stayed on the ballot and were passed?
Well, its stated objective is to have more competitive districts that aren't drawn by legislators for Assembly, Senate, and Congress.
Now, you used to be the majority leader of the state Senate. What's your take from that point of view about how egregious or how beneficial the process was by which state legislators approved the redistricting plans?
While I was in the legislature, I personally authored 4 different constitutional amendments to have an independent reapportionment commission.
Okay, so you can't
So long history of agreeing with the idea.
Right.
Now, this particular one, it has nothing to do with our lawsuit, but
right.
This one is defective. First of all, the legislators make the appointments. They select the retired judges that have the crayon.
So that's sort of taking the fox out of the chicken
coop. Yeah,
putting the fox in charge of assigning whoever's going to guard the chicken coop.
It's worse than that. The meeting where they select them occurs on Thanksgiving Day,
right,
where I suspect there won't be much public input.
Right.
Third, the line drawers, the masters, are specifically prohibited from considering the voting history or the party affiliation of the voters in any district.
Right.
Now, if you can't look at that data, how do you make a competitive district?
Well,
if that's the goal.
If the goal of a competitive district is to have roughly the same number of registered,
Democrats
and Republicans,
yeah.
Then if you can't know that, you're pretty much flying blind, I guess.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
But that's the policy sort of stuff. That
right.
doesn't have anything to do with the lawsuit.
Right.
The lawsuit was the process. We, in my office, a group of non-political, non-partisan experts have been responsible for writing the title and summary that appear. They have 100 words that they're allowed to use to summarize these complicated matters, and that appears on the ballot. People get that. Well, they've been doing that for almost 100 years, including 79 other initiatives that were proposed that were able to have the correct document get printed and go to the street to try to get signatures.
That's 79 within what time period?
This last year.
Right, okay.
This is the only one, not just this year, but in 100 years, as far as we know, that had a different document sent to my office for title and summary than that which was circulated for signatures by the paid signature gathering that is so typical these days of initiatives. These people spent probably $3 million to get this proposal on the ballot. Now, you'd think they would have spent a little bit on proofreading, but they didn't. And so now we have, for the first time that we know of, a title that's different, perhaps, than what it would have been if they had submitted the correct document. Secondly, about 500,000 people looked at our website that had the inaccurate information on it. Now, we don't know how much they cared about any specifics of this sort, but we have responsibility to those people to get it right, and to the voters to get it right, as well as those that signed a petition to not allow some sort of bait-and-switch operation where you file one thing for public comment, and then you circulate a different thing.
Okay, now what I'm trying to find out is where the bait and switch is. The title and summary, and then there's the substance of the law.
Right.
Where are you claiming that there's a discrepancy?
The substance of the law that they gave us,
right,
from which we, or the proposed law,
right,
from which we developed the title and summary,
right,
and which is posted for public analysis and review,
right,
and media comment or whatever,
right,
what they submitted to us is different than what they put in the petition,
right,
that went subsequently out on the street.
So the title and summary that were on the petition that went out on the street and that cost $3 million to get signed is identical,
yes,
to the title and summary that's on your site and that will be on the ballot.
Yes, but the text is on the site as well.
The text
of the proposed
law, yes, is on your site, and it was also required by state law to be on the petition forms.
And they're different.
And they're different.
Now, then there's an argument about, well, are the differences technical or substantive? And I'm not sure that it matters because they ought to get it right.
So the requirement is that the law, as the proposed law, as printed on the petitions that are signed by people, needs to be identical in every respect to the proposed law as it was submitted to you for the title and summary that
Correct.
Was necessary before they could circulate the
Correct.
Petitions.
So they're saying, well, you know, what about substantial compliance and, you know, the voters signed these petitions? Well, technically, the voters were deceived. Now, there are a lot of examples. You know, one argument that I hear regularly is, well, you know, would the title and summary be different
Right.
if you had the other information? Maybe. I'm not sure that that's what's compelling, but, you know, I have researched now Prop 13.
Right.
The school funding, Prop 98.
Right.
I could have changed in very radical and substantive ways both of those propositions and still kept the same ballot title and summary.
And the reason for that is because you only have 100 words in the ballot title and summary, and it needs to cover the major points,
right.
and it can't delve into any of the details. For example,
so Prop 98 will say minimum school funding,
right?
But it doesn't define that.
Right.
So if you could submit one definition of school funding to me and then change it when you go to the street, that would seem to me to not be a correct thing to do.
So in fact, a variety of proposed laws could, or a variety of versions of a proposed law could generate an identical title and summary.
Correct.
And the law doesn't speak to that, but says that the proposed law in its entirety, as printed on the initiative petitions, needs to be identical in every way to the one that was submitted that generated the official title and summary.
That's correct.
So you're saying it's a moot point whether or not as Mr. Costa, the proponent, argues that if you had gotten the one that was the entirety of the law that was circulated,
right.
you might have generated the same title and summary, but that's a moot or irrelevant
exactly.
point in this
now,
case.
Now, we might have, but in looking at it, I think there would have been some modest changes.
Right.
Not big things. But, I mean, the point is still, don't they have an obligation to obey the law and get it right?
Okay, so what's the procedure now? When and where did you file this case, and what's the next step
Another
in the process?
Another interesting oh. aspect in that respect
right.
is the proponents notified the Secretary of State early in June.
Right.
That there were these errors.
Right.
The Secretary of State did not inform our office until July.
Now, I spoke to Mr. Costello earlier this afternoon, and he said it would be okay with him if you released that confidential memo. Could you?
I have to have a client. I mean, from the Secretary of State?
The memo from the Secretary, the memo that the proponents submitted to the Secretary of State.
That would be up to the Secretary.
That would be up to the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Can you release the memo that the Secretary of State's office sent you? Is that public information, or would that be up to them too, since they originated it?
I don't know. I think it would be them, but it doesn't really say much, frankly.
Okay.
We're not talking about any
okay.
state secrets here.
Right.
It simply says, gee, there were these errors identified,
right.
and what should we do about it?
Right. Now, when I talked to Mr. Costa a little while ago, he was making the point that the Three Strikes initiative that passed last year had similar variations, and it went through. Do you have any comment about that?
Well, first of all, it didn't pass last year.
Oh, okay.
But it was on the ballot.
Right.
Now, maybe he means, I don't know about that, and I'll have to ask.
Okay.
Of whether something submitted to our office was different than what went on the ballot.
Right.
I don't think that's correct.
Because he was making the point that they were more ethical than the other people by disclosing the discrepancy.
Well,
whereas the other people hid it, he said, and then it went to the ballot without maybe.
I'd have to check. I don't think that's accurate, but I don't really know.
As far as you know, it didn't pass.
Yeah,
though.
It didn't pass. But
so
I
guess
it's moot in that respect. But still, if we missed it, it would be And one of the there's no process now for catching these things.
Right.
And so one of the things that I've been suggesting is there ought to be some law written to make it someone's official responsibility, presumably the Secretary of State,
right.
to compare the copies to make sure they're accurate.
It would seem that they could randomly ask for a copy that in the middle of the campaign or before the campaign.
Just look at what you file,
right.
and then look at the petitions you're circulating.
Right. Well, so you're saying that's the responsibility under the law of the petition
it's
circulators.
No one right now. Yes.
But there is no state official who's charged with taking a random sample of the petitions out there being circulated.
Right.
Does that mean that when they were all submitted with all the signatures that had cost $3 million to collect, no one noticed this until Mr. Costa sent, or the People's Advocate, or the proponents of the initiative sent that notice at the
Correct.
Beginning of June?
Correct.
Okay.
And then the Secretary of State's office didn't do anything about it for 3 weeks.
Right.
Which only matters because of the clocks running for, in terms of the election deadlines.
Right. And in fact, your press release says that when the Secretary of State's office contacted you, they asked you which of the versions ought to be on the ballot.
Right. And what we said is neither.
Right. And what's the timetable for the processing of your suit there?
Well, we're hoping for an expedited hearing.
Which would be how?
Well, it could be quickly. We don't have a date yet.
Okay.
There's been a judge assigned and that sort of thing, and people submit briefs. And
right.
It takes a while. But we hope it'll be quickly so that we don't run into deadlines of the ballots being printed and that sort of thing.
Do you want to say anything about how much politics may or may not have influenced this, or whether it's strictly a
legal
question?
Well, I don't mind
question?
Because, you know, certainly Mr. Costa and others say, oh, it's all political.
Right. So what do you say about that?
Well, it's simple. While I've been AG, there have probably been, somewhere between 600 and 800 initiative proposals filed with my office.
Right.
Fortunately, most of them haven't gone on the ballot.
Right.
But still, we've had a large volume that we have to do the title and summary.
Right.
I have not, in not one single instance, changed the language, directed the language, done anything to dictate what that title and summary will say. It is purely the function of long-term career civil service, nonpartisan lawyers and others in the office that work that up. It's not me.
And as you've said earlier, when you were in the legislature, you were trying to get the
yep.
substance of this initiative passed yourself.
Correct. But I was trying to do one that made sense and was
right.
workable,
right.
in my view.
Right.
But yes, I'm for taking that power away from the legislature. I think that's a good reform.
Right.
I don't think it should be done 8 years after the most recent census when
right.
you can't get good numbers. And,
right.
There's some defects of that sort.
Right.
But still, this is a matter about the integrity of the process. And, they argue, the changes are minor. Well, one of the changes I mentioned, by changing a day where these appointments get made by members of the legislature,
right.
It has that meeting occur on Thanksgiving Day.
Which it doesn't say in the original one.
Correct.
So
it was on a regular work day before.
Right. So you're saying that there are substantive differences,
yes.
but regardless of whether the differences are substantive or how substantive they are, it's the procedural issue of the need to have an identical version circulated as was submitted for the title and summary, which has failed to happen in
you
this case.
It.
Okay. Let's move on, if we could, to the
sure.
question of medical marijuana.
Sure.
You've been asked by the Department of Health Services to submit advice to them
mm-hmm.
At the same time that they decided suspend the pilot program that they had initiated for the issuance of state-based medical marijuana ID cards.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly did they ask you to do?
Well, we haven't first, of course, there's an attorney-client relationship, and they're the only
right.
ones that can be
okay.
absolutely explicit about the advice. What they're saying, they've said it in public, is are the state employees associated with this effort in the Department of Health Services somehow breaking a federal law by engaging in that
right.
program? And, of course, I don't have answers yet. We're still doing the research. I'm an advocate for medical marijuana. I supported Prop 215.
Right.
And when the Supreme Court ruling came down in the Ranch case, I sent two bulletins out to law enforcement that I think would probably show where we're likely to go.
What did you say?
The first said California law is not preempted by this Supreme Court ruling. It's still in effect. And secondly, the law enforcement, while they may arrest someone in enforcing a federal law, they're not obligated to, and it's our recommendation that they do not do that unless there also is probable cause under California law to make that arrest.
Okay, now you're the chief law enforcement officer for the state of California.
Yes.
What obligations do you have, or does the state have, if the Justice Department says, the U.S. Justice Department says, we want you to help us arrest people or otherwise fight marijuana use, possession, cultivation in California?
We won't do it.
Okay.
They can go and enforce federal law with federal authorities and resources. We won't use state, and I would recommend to locals that they not participate in that activity.
Okay, now, under the terms of the Compassionate Use Act, which was passed as Proposition 215,
mm-hmm.
Individuals who are using marijuana on the advice of their physicians are exempt from prosecution
mm-hmm.
under state laws
right.
that otherwise would affect them.
Right.
Is it important that they have a county card or even one of these state cards that was only in a pilot stage? Does that affect their status under the Compassionate Use Act?
It doesn't affect the legal defense.
Right.
But unfortunately, that might mean you'd get arrested, you'd get charged, you'd have to put, maybe go to trial, you'd have to put on a defense of some sort.
Right.
Informally or in court. And so the burden becomes greater if you don't have that system in place.
So the purpose of having the card then is to preempt that prosecution,
correct.
Which would itself be void or not bringable under the law.
Yeah.
Okay. So where does medical marijuana in California now stand from your point of view?
Well, we still have this conflict, of course, with federal law, and mostly because of its schedule under federal statute. Marijuana being treated the same as heroin or cocaine. That doesn't make any sense, but we're going to someday hope that Congress will change that law and make it like any other prescription that might be useful for someone's illness.
You know? Do you want to say anything about the legal issue itself that was involved, that Congress, under its power to regulate interstate commerce, has the right to regulate the personal growing and using of a plant?
Well, there is some court precedent of that sort. It's kind of a stretch, but they applied a case that's fairly old where a fellow was growing crops for his family's use and refused to participate in the federal system of regulating and providing subsidies and so on for crops.
Right.
And they declared that even though it was for his personal or family use, that it would affect interstate commerce, and therefore Congress had authority
so
to
there is
that commerce.
There is precedent, but it's kind of...
Yes, and there are cases that run on the other way, too. So this was a case that could have, by existing legal doctrines, come out either way.
Okay. Finally, I wanted to talk just a little bit about politics. You announced in April that you'd be running for treasurer next year and not for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a difficult decision or an easy decision for you?
Well, what was difficult was getting off the treadmill, where you just assume, okay, you keep climbing the ladder, you keep... And I realized there's a lot of things I'd still like to do that make for, hopefully, a better state, but it doesn't have to be governor to do that. And I'm disappointed when I see the governor and legislature spend the bulk of their time in sort of arm-to-arm wrestling and combat.
Right.
I don't want to do that. I want to respond to the needs that we've got another 25 million people in California since the last great infrastructure burst 50 years ago.
Right.
We've got to build colleges and schools and hospitals and water systems and transit systems, figure out pensions, figure out public finance for a lot of great needs, figure out health care.
So talk about nation building. This is essentially creating an infrastructure comparable to that required by a medium-sized country.
You're right. And that needs to be done with intense focus. And I think that the treasurer's office could be a tool to do that. And that's what I want to do with my next phase of my life.
Okay. Are you?
Now, I have personal things. I have
right.
new marriage, 2-year-old son. I realize that if I were campaigning and if elected, being governor, I wouldn't see him for 10 years.
Right.
And I didn't want to do that.
Okay. There's a sign at the end of the Robin Williams biopic that says, life is more important than show business. I guess you've decided that life is more important than politics.
You got it.
Okay, good. Well, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Mark.
And maybe we can follow up with some of these and see what happens when you do issue your report to the Health Services Department.
Happy to.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.